This podcast is rated IS for incredibly silly and definitely contains bad words, bad jokes, and other bad content that should not be heard by anyone, least of all children. Or maybe it should be. We don't know. We're still not their parents. You're listening to the Starforge podcast with Saya and Mal, two nerdy humans who still have a lot to say about Star Wars The Old Republic and all its features. Rest assured, the podcast is, as always, working as intended. This is episode 31, A History of Expats, part 2, Shadow of Revan. All right, hello, SWOTOR players.
I am Mal.
And I'm Saya.
And this is part 2, and our super awesome dive into expats and how those used to go in SWOTOR.
No. Diving is in the latest expansion, Mal. We're going back in time to the second expansion in the game.
Hang on. Let's go there.
Wow, 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 wow.
All right. We're there. We're in the past.
Oh, that was a real easy transition.
Yeah, it was. We had to go back, what, 8 years? 7.5? Whatever. We're going to talk about the second big expat in SWOTOR. Wait, who is this about again? I feel like we don't talk about him for some reason.
Ooh, it's that one guy that my co-host Mal really doesn't know anything about, and that is our Lord and Savior, Revan.
Oh, I've seen him, I've killed him, and now someone made a backpack out of him. It's kind of disrespectful to his body, if you ask me.
But it's a memorial backpack, okay?
Are you sure he's not in there? It's not made of him.
I do. It is. It's a fashion from his blood and skin when you open up the inside of the backpack.
Oh my God, it's like a Revan Necronomicon backpack.
That's not what we're talking about today, though. We are talking about the Shadow of Revan, not the backpack.
Disappointing other people while flying solo.
All right, so let's bring this up again. This X-Pack. How much was this X-Pack? $0?
No.
$5?
Absolutely not. This expansion was not free. It was not $5. It was a solid, whopping 20 buckaroos on top of the normal subscription you'd likely be paying.
Oh, 20 even? Not even the $19.99? Like, we had a one penny increase?
Okay, it was.
Fuck it,
inflation. Was $19.99. I'm sorry. I rounded up for the good of the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry to ruin the good of the podcast, just as I do every episode.
Okay, so look, I dropped my $19.99 for accuracy's sake. What did I get out of this?
Well, in fact, if you pre-ordered it before some date, you got access to it a week early. What? This one came out for pre-order. Pre-order people, December 9th, 2014. And I will say, right off the bat, we all got early access because Rise of the Hutt Cartel, you know, it was pretty good. We got a lot of good stuff with it. We were all back together for Shadow of Revan. And the early access week was not smooth. And I would say that this is the first major mistake BioWare made in regards to its treatment of longtime subscribed players. But we're going to start at the beginning here, Saya. What did this X-Pack bring to the players?
And this is so incredibly interesting because when we were writing notes about these different expansions and our experience with them, I had not even remembered this issue at all, but I would have been absolutely in the thick of enjoying it. I likely would have been volunteering with my guild, so speaking with a lot of guild members about it at the time. But years down the road, I don't remember this issue at all. But of course, for some players, it might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. But what did we get? First off, it brought the level cap from 55 up to 60. It brought Yavin 4 and Rishi were the new planets featured in the expansion, and with it, the achievements, quests, heroics, reputation, and of course, story. It also brought a really neat final story, one versus one fight with the man, the myth, the legend, the backpack himself. Which wasn't something we saw in the previous expansion, and something I think made this expansion way more memorable compared to Rise of the Hutt Cartel, and even better if you played the related operation as part of the story, which I did, and it was awesome. But Mal, did you like the story?
The story was so much better than Rise of the Hutt Cartel. So much better.
No space mining.
No, and just the planets were better. The story was better. And it was nice because they gave you kind of, you know, the more direct Revan story. But you also had kind of this other side story on the other
pirates.
Planet. Because we got how many planets this time?
Two.
Two? What?
That's one more than before for the same price.
What? And what do those planets give to the players? What do they feature?
Pirates? Yavin 4 and Rishi?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to say here. Sweet stuff.
No, it's right here. Achievements, quests, heroics, reputation, story, all sorts of things.
Right. They were really chock full. These were not empty planets.
No, and there were some really odd things to do for achievements. Like Rishi has that whole thing with the pirate gang.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That's kind of a, you know, it's something you can do by yourself, you know, like a nice daily thing with those pirates.
Very special set of Datacrons. I don't know if I necessarily like them, but very, very unique.
Yeah, they definitely were. The one on Rishi, you kind of needed more people to get that one, right? You had to open
it. Well, you could technically do it alone, but it makes so much more sense to do with friends or with a big group.
Yeah, the McKeb one was, we didn't touch on those Datacrons in McKeb, but some of those were pain in the
hard
ass to get. Like, you get to the top, we'll summon for 30k. It was that kind of
summon even exist back then? Oh, we'll sage pull tips.
But no, the story overall, it made sense, and then the operations made sense with the story.
Uh-huh, that was super cool.
And then it ended with Revan. And for people who wanted to see the story but not do the operation with Revan, they offered...
It had options!
Yeah, they had an option, which, you know, I love operations, but I respect some people, you know, at that time they can't get a group or they don't have time, but they still want to see it, so here's a good alternative.
Love that. I wish they would just have continued with that concept for, like, forevermore.
It was really the best of both worlds. And I love Yavin. That's a great planet. I still do those dailies.
Yeah.
Even though they take a little bit longer. I don't know. I like how the planet looks. I like the aesthetic of it.
Great. Fun little music there in the background, too. So for those of us who do like operations, there was actually two. Just like there was two planets, there was two operations that released with this expansion, which was awesome too. We got new operations at a much slower cadence now. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the expansion is no longer being paid is tied into that lower amount of developer funds now on the line. I don't know, but that idea of having two operations in one expansion pretty much fully completed is just like a complete pipe dream now. It's just never going to happen. And I'm so sad about that.
Well, and that's... There were also operations in between, though.
Right.
But we did
like the Oricon stuff.
Right. And that wasn't a full X pack. So that's why it was like a little mini. And we're only talking about the like full on major X packs here.
Right.
But yeah, there had been content coming. It's only December 2014. So things were flowing. So yeah, we were really willing to give them another $20 and see what we got. So
what else did we get in that 2014 expansion?
We got a level cap raise. So gather round, children.
Gather round,
children of an inflated galactic market. No, wait, hang on. Gather round, children of an inflated galactic market. And let Mama Mal tell you about how in December 2014, 1 million credits was still a lot of money. Back then, you had to go to a vendor to train your skills, and that cost money.
Cash money.
Cash money. And not $2 bills. So that brings us to Shadow of Revan, when we went from level 55 to level 60, and the cost of paying to upgrade those skills as you level was fucking horrifying. It
really
was a nightmare. It was almost 1 million credits to train all your skills, and it was awful. And for people who played, you know, we did ops, you did story, but maybe didn't have time, like me and other people, to sink hours and hours into crafting and getting money for fun. And we were financing Guild Ship and stuff like that at the time, because those were very new. It was a lot of money. And they were saying, we literally cannot come to operations because we don't have money to train our skills. This was what happened in early access. So these are the players dedicated enough to be subbed, and you had to be subbed and pay the money to get the early access, subbed prior to when it dropped. And as the subscribing player base, we had never seen bullshit like this before, and it was insane. And wow, was there a lot of complaining. And there should be complaining, because it was ridiculous to expect people to have those kind of funds at the time. And Saya, what do you think they did about that?
It was so funny and so sad at the same time. Skills had always been kind of expensive to train. I think I also had to borrow credits before I bought Speeder Piloting 3 back in 1.0. But Shadow of Revan was crazy. I was not rolling in credits at that point. I definitely had to balance buying my skills and feeding my space children. Should we complain, though, knowing years later how bad the inflation was and how good of a credit sink those skills were?
I mean, were they a good credit sink? They really just kind of punished people who wanted to level up the game.
Everyone was broke AF, so apparently it worked.
I guess, but that's a whole other conversation.
We couldn't play, but there was no inflation.
But there was no, like, great way to get money. Like, you could craft slicing boxes, but it was very time-consuming. I mean, maybe skills can cost credits, but at the time, to put that sort of price on them, to have it be so devastating to so many people playing this game, was ridiculous.
Right. So people literally couldn't upgrade their skills. What did they do?
All right. So,
or rather, what did you do? Did you go buy all your skills?
Yes, and then I loaned money to, like, everybody so that they could buy their skills.
And how did BioWare fix things?
Well, let me tell you. They decided that when it went off early access and was released to the general population, they decided that training skills would now cost nothing. What if you already paid to train your skills, though? There were no refunds. None. Zero. And that made me and a lot of other people so mad, because you basically took the most dedicated crowd of people in SWTOR, the ones who cared enough to pre-order and pay for your new content, make us pay millions of credits to train our skills, and then punish us for your bad fucking decision. And for the first time, this game pissed me off and a lot of other people. And I feel like this was a first step down the road of how badly this game treats subscribers and long-term players who have paid a long time to play this game, which is subscribers. That's the definition. I'm so mad I can't even get it out correctly.
And this is the issue I was talking about earlier in the episode that I don't even remember happening. And this seems like something I would have been really, really heated and cranky about when it first happened, but I don't even remember it down the road. But there's players like Mal who are keeping it a secret vengeance in their hearts about this.
And Vaz too. Ask Vaz.
But if we're talking Vaz, and probably many other players from back then.
He's been listening a lot. Hi, Vaz. He's very pleased to hear how much I bring him up. You know, he's my SWTOR ride or die. So, hi, Vaz. He's mad too.
We're talking about mistakes. Vaz isn't a mistake, but we should probably mention the move from skill trees to disciplines. There was a major rework, big rework of many classes, and there was no longer the three-branched tree. Instead, you were locked into a single branch as a discipline and could make choices within your utility window. What was that like, Mal? What did that feel like?
It was an adjustment, because you could play a little with the skill trees, you know? You want to talk about skank tanking, you could really go, like, you know, up the tank tree, but then
back in the day,
up the DPS tree, see what was working for you. I know Fender really enjoyed that in PvP.
I was actually doing that. That's how I was playing. I was playing pure, I hate that term so much, but I was absolutely playing as a tank up the damage tree or a DPS up the tank tree. I forget which one, but it was a huge thing to do back then. And it felt very like you could make a choice to do that.
Right. Now you were really locked in. And we had this discipline until 7.0. So this is what we had, right?
this utility system, right? That lasted a really long time in the game until it was completely overhauled in the most recent 7.0 expansion.
I mean, it was definitely different. Most of the time you just kind of, because they made a lot of what you took in the tree passive. It was just, it just happened now.
Right.
It just happened passively on you as a character, and then you picked these other things. You know, it's easy. Oh, I picked that. Some you need to change it from fight to fight. Some stuff, who thought this up? It's fucking worthless.
Right, they never like, got used
shit
ever.
Shit no one should ever take. Still like that today, but that's for a different episode. So that's what happened there. What about crafting? We got crafting, right?
Crafting got upgraded. Like I said last episode, it's a staple from now on forward until the recent expansion where it wasn't.
So they added something here, if you remember, tactical flashpoint.
The first tactical flashpoint, the pre-runner to true veteran mode flashpoints in the group finder. Yeah, that was so weird when that came out and didn't make any sense. And it was all by itself. And it was just like, okay, this flashpoint that you can run at any level from 15 to what would that be? 60?
56 to 60 for some of them. Some of them, it wasn't even, you know, 10 to whatever. They were high. Blood Hunt was tactical flashpoint 56 to 60. It's crazy.
Yeah, so weird. Right. I'm so glad we have a standardized system, but it was very interesting at the time to see them starting to branch out and that idea of that you could have veteran mode for 15 and up and then the master mode for high level players.
I will tell you, they actually in this added a lot of stuff in the UI and the interface editor. That are some of my favorite things that we talked about in the interface editor.
Oh, what did they add?
Episode. Yeah, they added basically buff sorting, highlighting, sorting. You can sort based on like your effects. So you can put yours first, sort them by type, apply time, total duration. All those tips we gave in the interface editor, it came from this. From this patch.
All the best stuff.
So it's been here since 2014. They should have just turned it on for everybody.
So if we're talking about sorting, let's actually just go back a little bit and sort our timeline to before this expansion came out. They did something that they've never really done before, and that was a prelude. And this was, I feel like they had to push the expansion back, but they didn't want to tell anybody. Instead, they gave us this very interesting set of content called the Prelude to the Shadow of Revan, which was a set of four flashpoints. Very engaging, very interesting, very different flashpoints that we still get to play today. What did you think when those were coming out, this lead up to a bigger story?
I mean, it was great. It's always great to have new stuff. Having new flashpoints, new content, you know, that's nice. That's really nice. I don't remember being like sad they delayed it. I feel like maybe they have been pushing for like an October release and maybe had to push it to December. But I don't remember being too upset about it.
It's definitely a great way to do it, to give us something very new and very, it definitely felt like a lead up. It felt like something was coming on the horizon that we could enjoy, that we could prepare for in some way.
Right, right. So, yeah, those, the flashpoints, I actually don't mind those flashpoints.
I like them, yeah.
God, when they came out with Blood Hunt, that shit was hard.
Okay, that is still a hot mess. That is still a hot mess.
And they with Shadow of Revan, they added a hard mode of that one. And that one, that is a hard flashpoint. It's short. It's actually very short. If you have people who are very good, you can do that flashpoint very quickly. But that's still a very challenging flashpoint.
So this whole expansion, it's well known for having the two planets, Rishi and Yavin 4, for having the two operations, for having this really cool supreme fight so for solo players at the end of the X-Pack, and just lots of all this little stuff added in, including the prelude itself.
Right, right. I want to add just one more thing. You know I like PvE, but they actually made a big PvP change in this X-Pack. It involved cleanse. Because they wanted to make dot classes more viable in war zones, they made player dots no longer cleansable, and they gave cleanse.
That was a big change.
They gave cleanse a very long timer. So when we used to, you know, you'd be able to cleanse every like 2 or 3 seconds, whatever it was. Now it was a 12-second cooldown because what they did was make it in PvP that you could cleanse CCs, but not dots.
This is the podcast, everybody. My co-host interrupted my beautiful summary to tell you guys about cleanses. This is the difference between a story mode raider and a nightmare mode raider right here. And we're going to be talking a little more about nightmare mode raiding or lack thereof in the next episode where we'll be going over the next expansion.
Tell us what you remember about Shadow of Revan and if you're still waiting for your 1 million credit refund and they better adjust for goddamn inflation. Where's my 100 million credit refund? If you too have been hurt by the Shadow of Revan credit skill fraud, contact the Starforge podcast at 1-888-SWOTERISTA.
Our legal representatives are not standing by. And we also have no news for you because recording this early. And we hope everything's going well with the 7.1 release. See you guys later.
See you next time.
You've been listening to the Starforge podcast with Saya and Mal. We know you have your choice of podcasts and you chose the right one. New episodes drop every Friday on Google and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Sotarista's YouTube channel, and just about every other podcast platform in existence. For show notes, pictures, and other information, visit StarForgePodcast.com. Hit us up on Twitter at StarForgeCast. We love hearing from you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.
Yeah, let's give a... Oh, I'm sorry. I clicked the prelude. I see what you're saying here. No. 1 second. My phone is so small.